This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham, here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Now, this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. A lot to get to. Busy, busy day around the Beltway when it comes to the sports landscape. I always say this, love listening to G&D. My favorite thing that I heard earlier today, and we'll maybe play some of that for you a little bit later, Barry Svrluga from the Washington Post joined Grant and Danny and talked about the comments that Mark Lerner made to the Washington Post about why the team did not spend this past offseason, still trotting out one of the lowest payrolls in the majors. We'll discuss that. As we rolled throughout the show, their second full squad workout was this afternoon. Mark Zuckerman of Masson.com doing a nice job laying it all out in terms of what's going on out there in Florida. And look, I am super duper interested in what happens throughout spring training for the Washington Nationals. A lot of major questions still to be answered, and I think the way that the fellas perform coming up here in the Grapefruit League are going to answer some big-time questions as we get geared up for opening day. So make sure you stick around for that as we will get to the Washington Nationals a little bit later on in the program. The NBA's back tonight. Hey! Not the All-Star game, which you all wanted to complain about for 4 days at a time. I hate All-Star weekend. Not because the festivities stink so bad, but because you all want nothing more than to complain about it. It's been the same for the past decade plus. Deal with it. Get over it. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming. Wizards back in action Friday night as they return from the All-Star break. We get Lakers and Hornets tonight. That's interesting, obviously, because of the massive trade that was rescinded on NBA trade deadline day. As L.A. tried to send Dalton Knecht to Charlotte in exchange for Mark Williams. Ironic, those two teams going to play tonight. To LeBron's credit, because he's taking a lot of crap for what happened on Sunday, announcing that he was not going to participate in the All-Star game, he is officially listed as questionable tonight with an ankle injury. So we'll see if we'll see King James. It was the reason he did not play in the All-Star game on Sunday. I know a lot of people had a lot to say about that. Oh, he took a spot from a young guy, and oh, he should have known better. when you're chasing history like LeBron James is, when you are still putting the final nails in your legacy, so to speak, you want to play in every All-Star game that you can. I understood why he waited till the last minute. It's not like, what are they going to do, put Norman Powell or some random member of the Clippers into the game or the Warriors into the game. So it didn't really move me that much. Lakers and Hornets get us back into the second half of play in the NBA post-All-Star break. Like I mentioned, Wizards and Bucks in action Friday night as they return from the All-Star break. We'll actually be broadcasting live from Cap One Arena 4 to 6:45 over on the Team 980 as I sit in for my guy Craig Hoffman. We'll be live out of Cap One. We'll talk plenty of Wizards then. But one thing that's interesting about that is the return of Kyle Kuzma, was just traded away from the Wizards right before the All-Star break. He comes back to Capital One Arena. We'll see how the young pups for the DC family look here in the second half of the season. I certainly am ready for it. Y'all know I'm a huge basketball guy. And the way that the fellas looked pre-All-Star break should give you a ton of confidence for the way the second half of the season is going to go. Once you get Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton inserted into the lineup, I don't know how many games you're going to win. I hope they don't win many. But it's about continuing to stack days and games, rather, of good competitive basketball on the defensive end of the floor, offensively competing, sharing the rock, all the things that you saw in the six or seven games leading into the All-Star break as the young Wizards take center stage. They're back in action coming up Friday night. I was actually, what was I doing earlier this morning? I think I was going out in, there was my car charger in my car, the block that you plug into it in your car, the port. I dropped it somehow because every time I leave this building, it's pitch black outside, and it's hard for me to see because my car is not well lit. The cheap parking lot that I don't ever pay for is not well lit. Don't tell anybody that, Middle Chris. I don't pay for the parking over there. But I was looking for my car.
Who am I supposed to tell, first off?
I don't know. I have no clue. But I bring that up because that's what I was doing earlier today when the news came across my timeline that the salary cap was increasing in the National Football League. That is huge. And as it goes for the Commanders, oh, wow, look at this. I'm stopping the show dead in his tracks because I'm having a cool moment on social media. Guess who just tweeted at me?
LeBron James.
DeSean Jackson's mom.
Oh.
Just tweeted and followed your boy.
Oh,
tweeted at me and followed
yeah.
me. Her Twitter handle is GJackson10. She is DeSean Jackson's mother, and we know DeSean Jackson in the news today plenty because of the staff he is putting together at Delaware State. It was announced earlier today, Clinton Portis is going to be his running backs coach over at Delaware State. Why is that relevant to me? You all know I do play-by-play for Howard University. They play in the same conference as Delaware State, so we will get to see Coach Jackson.
Is Delaware State an HBCU?
Yes.
Okay.
They're terrible, though.
I don't know much about them other than DeSean Jackson now is going to be the coach. That's basically all I know.
The last 2 years, they won two games. And I have a personal vendetta against the school because, you know, a little old me, poor up-and-coming broadcaster, trying to get information on Delaware State because their SID and their front, I mean, just stink. They don't provide you anything.
Yeah.
So I go on the field pregame and try to get some info from the coaches. On the box score, as I'm looking at it, they had played four different quarterbacks throughout the season. So I'm trying to figure out what everyone's trying to figure out. Who's the starting quarterback today, coach? He refuses to tell me.
It's like a pitching rotation.
Dude, I mean, it's awful. It shows you why their program was in the state that it was in. But that's here nor there. I thought it was cool. DeSean Jackson's mom tweeted at me. Back to our regularly scheduled programming. We're talking about the salary cap in the National Football League and how that is, how it increased and how that helps the Washington Commanders and pretty much every team in the National Football League. We've been talking about it all offseason. How much cap does Washington have to actually spend? Well, according to Jason from Over the Cap, and I would love to say Jason's entire name, but I know his last name's not OTC. It's on social media. It's Jason_OTC. That's how I'm going to refer to him. He is one of the lead contributors to OverTheCap.com, the tool that we all use to see, you know, how much cap space each team in the NFL has. And with the increase today in the salary cap, the Commanders, according to OverTheCap.com, now have roughly $82 million to spend in cap space. Holy heck. Now, the cap today increased by about $7 million, so that number is accurate. But, man, we talked about it a lot last night. We'll talk about it again here today. I mean, they have so much money to spend. And when you think about where this team currently is, they need every penny. They need every single penny. And I know people are like, oh, it's easy to create cap space. Just cut John Allen. Here's my disclaimer for all of you out there that want to just cut some of the football players on our team in exchange for cash, so to speak. You got to replace them physically on the field. And there's no guarantee that you'll be able to do that. But that's here nor there. The Commanders are projected to have the third most salary cap space in the National Football League, $82.2 million. And we know they have a bevy of different things that they got to address here coming up in the offseason. We'll begin to brush through that and roll through that as the show rolls on here tonight. But I wanted to bring that to you all's attention because for the contingent of fans out there that feel like the Commanders are going to go blow the bag this offseason, I don't necessarily feel that it's going to happen that way, but the salary cap going up, I think, lends itself to that being more likely.
You think it's going to be like the Learners run the team?
The who?
The Nats. They're having the issue right now. They're not spending any money in the offseason.
I don't acknowledge professional sports franchises that don't try. Sorry. So, wink, wink, Metal Chris. We'll get to the Nats a little bit later on. I mentioned Barry Svaluga of the Washington Post joined G&D. Gave them some great sound and good questions asked by the fellas. Talking about just the state of that baseball team, I mentioned we'll get to that a little bit later on. Something else we found out today, and I couldn't believe this. I think it was Monday when I sat in for Grant and Danny. We talked about this at the tail end of the show, and I could not believe that it was even a talking point. But Matt Stafford, quarterback for the LA Rams, set to account for, I think it's $52 million this year against their cap. They're trying their damnedest to lower that number and get a, you know, some sort of mini extension done with Stafford. But the whispers have been that they would trade him. And I kept thinking, well, what type of trade compensation could the LA Rams get for Matt Stafford? First and foremost, to me, just set the record straight, it makes zero sense in my opinion. A team that was really two or three plays away from going to the NFC Championship game to move on from your quarterback after that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But, you know, according to those out there in the NFL world that are more plugged in than I, they would have a replacement for Matthew Stafford. So let's get to the trade compensation first. This is being reported by Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports that the asking price that the Rams would have for quarterback Matthew Stafford, it would be a first-round pick. And this is a part of Jordan Schultz's NFL Confidential where he breaks down for FoxSports.com the latest rumors he's hearing as we get hot and heavy into this NFL offseason. Who the hell is giving up a first-round pick for old Matthew Stafford is what I initially, you know, thought. But look, to me, like...
Jets? I can see him go to the Jets.
Yeah, but like... Are they giving up? The Jets have a top, they have the number 7 overall pick. Like, are they parting ways with that high of a pick to go get Stafford for 2 years?
They give him next year's pick. I mean, who knows?
Like, it makes no sense. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense for him to do that. I don't know why someone, for this to be reported, backtrack here a little bit. That means someone has already reached out to the Rams and maybe already offered a first round pick. I don't know where this thing is going. Like I said, I continue to believe. If you are Les Snead and Sean McVay and the powers that be over there in L.A., you want to get a resolution for this sooner rather than later because you want to know who's going to be under center for you. But, like, if you can finagle a team out of a first-round pick for Matthew Stafford, then I guess you do it, right? Like, I was talking to Mike Sando earlier of The Athletic, and he mentioned – the possibility of like, well, maybe Sean McVay and company like Jimmy Garoppolo a lot more than we know. And they're okay with moving on from Matt Stafford. I saw Lewis Riddick of ESPN, Dan Graziano of ESPN also mentioned the idea of Aaron Rodgers being a potential cheaper replacement for Matthew Stafford out there in L.A. with the Rams. Now, if you can get a first-round pick and you can get Aaron Rodgers for less than what you were paying Stafford, to me, that makes a hell of a lot of sense. They have the infrastructure, I think, that would allow Rodgers to have success. I know a lot of people out there are turned off by Aaron Rodgers because of the off-the-field stuff and his relationship with ownership last year in New York and doing the Pat McAfee show, just the way he carries himself. But there were a couple of games down the stretch run of the season where Aaron Rodgers looked like a starting quarterback in the NFL. It'd be hard-pressed to believe that he doesn't still got much left in the tank. If he goes to L.A. with the Rams, that would be super interesting because they've already got a team that is built well in the trenches on both sides of the football. I know Cooper Kupp is potentially heading to a divorce with them, but you still got Puka Nacua. They've got a good young tight end, and they've got a running game spearheaded by Kyren Williams, so where you wouldn't be asking Aaron Rodgers to do everything. I've now pulled up the NFL draft order. The QB needy teams entering next year: Tennessee, Cleveland, New York, Vegas, the Jets, New Orleans, Indianapolis, I would put on that list. And that's really it. Pittsburgh, 100%, would be on that list. Does it make sense for any of those teams to move off of a first-round pick for Matthew Stafford? I just don't know if it does. Especially not if you're Tennessee with one overall, heck no. Cleveland, 2 overall, no. Giants, 3 overall, no. When I hear a first-round pick being the asking price, I have to think it's more geared toward teams at the bottom half of the draft that need a quarterback. Like Pittsburgh at 21. If you're Pittsburgh and you've got the 21st overall pick, do you send that to the LA Rams in exchange for Matt Stafford? I may do that because Pittsburgh already has the supporting cast ready-made. They've got a decent amount of money to go out and spend this offseason. You know, that would be an interesting destination for me. That's obviously one of the Aaron Rodgers destinations potentially as well. But I don't know. When that report came out earlier today and I got to read through Jordan's piece on FoxSports.com, I said, woof, aren't we lucky, Commander fans, to not be in the quarterback market this time around? It's crazy. I said it Monday, sitting in for G&D, like, as we continue to look at the offseason calendar, and we'll talk a ton about the NFL draft here tonight. The combine's next week. We traditionally, here in D.C., don't have the offseason feel like it goes by this quickly. Because I'm already to the point where it's like, damn, we're already back into it. Because usually, around this time, we're thinking about which quarterback are we going to take, or which coach are we going to hire, or who's going to get fired, or what scandal are we going to have to uncover. For the first time in my lifetime, Washington, fresh off of a NFC championship appearance, they've got the third most salary cap space in the National Football League, but a bunch of holes. This is not going to be an easy fix, is what I would say. I know people are excited about what is next for this organization. I am excited about what's next for them as well. But make no mistake about it, there are going to be a lot of long, tough, difficult conversations to be had between now and the start of free agency for this regime in this front office. It's a good spot to be in because you feel like you've got your foundational piece for the future at the quarterback spot with Jaden Daniels. But man, the more and more I think about it, and the more and more I look at this thing, how likely is it that Adam Peters and company can replicate last year's offseason success? That to me is the question I can't get over. And then the other thing that I want to look at throughout the night here, what does success look like next year? What defines a successful year two of this rebuild as we continue to move throughout this thing? You've got the quarterback. You've got the ownership structure. You've got the front office set up. You have the coach that you want. What does success look like next year? Because I think We mentioned the ESPN piece. We'll get into that as we roll on throughout the show here as well. ESPN and their insiders put together a piece, and they were making some predictions for next year in the NFL. And there were a couple of insiders that had the Commanders as a Super Bowl team next year. If they don't make the Super Bowl, I'm here to tell you, that doesn't mean the season was a failure. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Listing Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Just getting rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. A lot to get to. We'll touch on the Washington Nationals. We'll hit a little bit on the Wizards. But when we come back, I will answer the question I just asked you. How do you define success next year for the Washington Commanders? We'll get into that next here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Just getting rocking and rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I will take you up to 10 o'clock tonight. Ton to get to. We'll talk a little Nats. We'll talk a little Wizards. We'll take a spin around the NFL. But right now, our attention geared toward the Washington Commanders. And we're looking at it from this prism. We know we got the offseason coming up. We'll get into specific moves I'd like to see made in the overall plan for this offseason as we roll throughout the show here. But I want to look at it through this prism here real quick. What defines success next year for the Washington Commanders? For a team that exceeded all expectations last year. For a team that outkicked its coverage in a way we haven't seen here locally in a long, long time. Most sports books last year had the Commanders in their win total set at 6.5. They went on to win 12 games and punched their ticket to the conference championship for the first time since 1991. For the first time in my lifetime, ownership, head coach, GM, all on the same page. And, cherry on top, you have found, it looks like, and I'm willing to put next month's rent on it, that the Commanders have more than likely found their long-term answer at the game's most important position. With that being said, I said it last night here on OT. What they did last year in the offseason, to me at least, is not replicable. You know how hard it is to go out and retool your roster on the fly the way that the Commanders did? You know how difficult that is? Like I said, this is the most pivotal offseason of the rebuild. Can they retool the roster on the fly? There are a bunch of tough decisions that got to be made. We're still learning about this front office. So, putting all of that in perspective, I ask you this. What defines success next year for the Washington Commanders? You all know I love list season, as I call the offseason list season. ESPN and their crew of NFL insiders and experts put together their 2025 NFL predictions, including Super Bowl, MVP, breakout players. And I want to start with the Super Bowl category. And there were 13 different people, 13 different insiders and analysts from ESPN were polled on this. We got some interesting Nats news coming in here. I'm sure G&D touched on this on the tail end of their show. It's being reported by John Heyman that the Nats have agreed to a deal with pitcher Lucas Sims, formerly of the Boston Red Sox and the Cincinnati Reds last year, 1-6 record, 4.4 ERA, somebody that can come in and help this Nats bullpen. So as we get into our Nats conversation a little bit later on in the show, we'll get to that bullpen depth that they added. All of a sudden, real quick on the Nats, that rotation, the bullpen at least for me, is interesting, man. We'll see who the starters end up being as we get into our Nats talk a little bit later on. But 13 different insiders and analysts were, you know, polled and given their thought process on the Super Bowl for next year. They picked their Super Bowl matchup from next year. 13 different GMs. Of those 13 analysts and insiders, of those 13 people, two of them had the Commanders in the Super Bowl next year. Two of them had the Commanders in the Super Bowl next year. And one of them was very well known. Dan Graziano, national NFL reporter, has Washington losing to Kansas City. And in the blurb, he said he looks forward to the 2 weeks of is Jaden Daniels the next Pat Mahomes. And I bring this up because it kind of speaks to what folks are expecting next year from this group. And I don't want to be a fire extinguisher, so to speak. I don't want to be a fire extinguisher, so to speak, but damn, having the Commanders in the Super Bowl next year is kind of bold, isn't it? Just a little bit. But no, I understand it, though. Two of the 13 reporters at Washington in the Super Bowl. One of them, what happened? He calls all the time, but he's calling back. I look at this and go, man, is that what the national expectations are for this team? That's my thought process here. Dan Graziano's got him in the Super Bowl next year. Their sports betting analyst, Pamela Maldonado, has him in the Super Bowl next year. And I think everyone looks at the resources they have, they look at the quarterback that they have, and they assume that it'll be easy to get back to the top of the mountaintop. And I'm here to tell you, while I think there's a potential that they make the Super Bowl next year, I think they've got a good chance of making the Super Bowl next year. My thing is this, if they don't make the Super Bowl next year, how would you feel? Because correct me if I'm wrong here. We'll take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. I think everyone's expectations are sky high for this group. Rightfully so, when you consider the way that last year went. But like I continue to say, and EB, like I said last night, EB got a ton of flack for some comments he made after the season ended. And I think the quote, clickbaity quote that was posted online was, this is a Commander season of fluke. That's not what EB was trying to say. But EB correctly pointed out, is that, yeah, this team won 12 football games, but newsflash for you. They were 8-2 in one-score games. How likely is that to carry over to next year? And then two, think about how they got to 12 wins. The Hail Jaden. In reality, like, if you played the Bears 100 times, how many times would the Hail Mary win the game? So that's one win. I don't want to take it away from them, but one win that you got to look and go, oh, that was tough. The New York Giants in week number two, Malik Nabers, you know, dropping the football after going for 13 catches in the three quarters prior, would have set up a game-winning field goal for them. I look at the Eagles win, the second Eagles game. If Devontae Smith doesn't drop the football with what would have been a walk-in touchdown, who's to say you win that game? So now, instead of being a 12-win team, you're a 9-win team. You pick up what I'm putting down here? And I am not at all trying to say that this group is going to take a major step back. What I want to know, before we get to steps back or steps forward, I think you first got to establish and define what success looks like next year for this group. What does success look like next year for this group? Because the folks at ESPN and everybody nationally is drinking the Kool-Aid of the Washington Commanders. I mentioned two of their 13 insiders predicted that they would be in the Super Bowl next year. We also go to MVP picks. Now, this is where things get interesting. Out of the MVP race, 13 people were polled. Of those 13 folks, Dan Graziano, Mr. Moody, and Theory. It is Lindsay Theory of NFL, the NFL national reporter, predicted that Jayden Daniels would be the MVP. Like, if that doesn't happen, if those things don't play out this way, is next year considered a failure? What defines success next year for the Washington Commanders? 1-800-636-1067. A lot of national folks have big expectations for this group moving forward. After punching your ticket to the NFC Championship game in year one of the rebuild, as we move forward, what will define success for the Washington Commanders? I'll give you my answer on how success looks next year for the Commanders next year on The Fan. Coming off of an NFC Championship berth, the first since 1991, the team's first 12-win season since then as well, what defines success for the 2025 version of the Washington Commanders? What we're discussing right here on The Fan. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Youngest and Charles and L. Willingham riding with you here on this Wednesday night. We'll be joined by Chris Russell, the Rooster, coming up at 8:30. We'll get his thoughts on this all-important offseason for the Washington Commanders. Right now, I want to give my thoughts on what defines success for next year's Commanders. Because like I continue to say, this offseason is oh so important when it comes to laying the foundation for this organization moving forward. The Commanders last year made the NFC title game on the strength of a rookie quarterback and a bunch of unrestricted free agents that were signed to one-year deals, some of which got multi-year deals, your Frankie Louvus, your Dorrance Armstrongs, your Tyler Biadasz's. You were able to find some core pieces, but a lot of these guys were one-year rentals. So we thought, as you move into this offseason and you continue, you know, completely just stopped me in my tracks. It says heartbreaking, and I'm thinking somebody like passed away or something unfortunate. It was a group of Chiefs fans reacting to Cooper DeJean's pick six. I want to be like the Eagles, people. I want opposing fan bases crying because of what my team does in the Super Bowl. And next year, a lot of folks feel like Washington is a legit Super Bowl contender. I don't think anyone is wrong or beside themselves for feeling that way. I think they should be viewed as a Super Bowl contender. But if they don't reach that mark, what defines success for this group next year? To me, it's very simple. I would consider next year's Commander season a smashing success if a couple of things happen. One, I do not need the young signal caller to take a step back. Like, that's the first thing for me. I do not need Jayden Daniels taking a step back. And what people, I'm getting so annoyed hearing all about the, well, you may take a step back. Did you see C.J. Stroud this year? Huge and blah, blah, blah. If you actually know anything, just anything about Texans football, why did they fire offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick, someone whose name was talky hot last year when it came to the NFL hiring cycle? Why did he get fired? Because his play calling stunk. They weren't a well-coached team. They weren't a well-prepared team. And they consistently got themselves into third and forever. And every time they scored, it was C.J. Stroud bailing them out of a bad predicament. So before you all get to talking about sophomore slumps, understand that next year, and I understand there'll be more tape on Washington and all of that. I get it. I don't think this group takes a step back. But if Jaden Daniels at quarterback did take a step back, that would be something that I'd go, I don't want to see that. But in terms of what declares next year's success, he's got to take another step. I think he can get better in a couple of different categories. And it's hard to really get better when you were as good as he was. But I don't think he was flawless. The other thing to me that would define success, I need this defense to take a massive step forward. Last year, defensively, DVOA-wise, you weren't very good. Now, the pass defense was good, but you can argue that there are holes in the pass defense as well. But to me, defining success next year for the Commanders is Jaden Daniels taking a step forward, the defense taking a big step forward, and then here's the final thing. I need some of the young pups to grow and develop. Luke McCaffrey is one of two receivers under contract going into next year. He was a third-round pick. Can you get something out of the guy? Ben Sinnott. And I understand everyone's view of Ben Sinnott is colored differently because of the fake punt that he caught against the Eagles. Newsflash. It's not why you drafted him. You didn't draft him to catch fake punts from your punter. You drafted him to be an impact player on your offense. If that doesn't happen next year, can you consider the season a success? If Johnny Newton doesn't show more flashes and doesn't become a more consistent football player, can you consider next year a success? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Everyone's got sky-high expectations for Washington entering the offseason. But as we take a look ahead a little bit, I know it's a dangerous thing to do. What would define success for the 2025 Washington Commanders? Rod is in Lando. What's going on, Rod?
Hey, what's up, Linnell? So everything you just said, man, I agree with you. You was going with individual, you know, sound like you was going with individual performances. I'm going to go with team. I'm going to say if they just make the playoffs, man, I mean, I can't remember the last time this team made back-to-back playoff appearances. You know, we'd make the playoffs and won't see it again for like 7-8 years. Yeah. You know, so if they make the playoffs again, you know, that's success, man. I mean, you know, next year's schedule is harder. I kind of glanced at that schedule, man. It's a lot of tough teams on that schedule. I mean, you made the point earlier about all the games we won and how we won them, you know, how close they were and Hail Marys and, you know, going forward on fourth down all the time and stuff like that. But, I mean, we won them, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, they was real close, a lot of them. So I think if with the schedule that's coming up, people having tape on Jaden Daniels, but Jaden Daniels going to have tape on them as well.
For sure.
You know, so you put all that together, man, individual success. If this team make it to the playoffs next year, man, that's a successful season. Now, whether they lose in the first round, second round, just them making the playoffs and back-to-back seasons, man, would be, man, I think the fan base, man, we'd be just overjoyed, man, to see them make it to the playoffs again, man.
For sure, Rod. And I appreciate the call as always, brother. See, that's – Rod is – I guess maybe Rod may be the wrong person to ask this question to because he is a measured, responsible, you know, veteran fan is what I would call him. He does not – Rod calls all the time. Love Rod. Rod is not outlandish with a lot of the stuff that he says. Rod looks to this team objectively, which some of you all struggle to do. What defines success next year for the Commanders? Rod mentioned if they made the playoffs. Even if they don't make the playoffs next year, if Jaden takes a step forward, the defense looks better, if your young pups from this year's class show some promises, let me just be honest with you. To me, the best three players out of Washington's rookie draft class was their first-round pick, Jaden Daniels, their second-round pick, Mikey Samuels still, and their seventh-round pick, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. To me, those are the three best draft picks from the Commanders. Ben Sinnott, I need more. Luke McCaffrey, I need more. Jordan McGee, I need more. Right? Dominic Campton. I know Chris Russell is out there somewhere cackling when I bring that name up. Need more. Need more, need more, need more. But as we look at what success or how we define success, rather, entering next year, I think all of those things got to be brought to the forefront. It isn't about wins and losses necessarily for me. It's about staying the course and continuing the upward trajectory of the rebuild that you're currently in. I know Dan Quinn and company have, you know, kind of placed a spell on us and have us feeling like, oh, we're not in a rebuild. We're a championship contender. I think both things can be true. I think, well, yes, Washington has to be considered one of the contenders for the Lombardi Trophy next year. I would still add the context of they're still in year number two of a rebuild. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. What defines success for the 2025 Washington Commanders? We'll discuss that and take your calls on the other side of the break. Also, we'll begin to look ahead at the offseason. The more and more I think about it, the more and more I think, there are some really tough decisions that have to be made. And the general manager, Adam Peters, in my opinion, the jury's still out. I'll expound upon that next here on The Fan. One 800 636 1067, the number right here on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. How do you define success for the 2025 Washington Commanders? We've gone through this ESPN insider piece, taking a look ahead at the 2025 season for Washington, fresh off of a year where they punched their ticket to the NFC title game for the first time since 1991. I'll be real, it still feels like I'm living some type of fantasy, man. Even with last year's success, I still believe, though, and as excited as I am about the future of this group, I still believe there is some heavy lifting left to be done from a personnel standpoint, which is why I keep saying, Adam Peters and company, this is, to me, the most important offseason of this rebuild. They have to capitalize and seize the momentum that they have as an organization while also striking that balance of being aggressive but not jeopardizing the future of this organization as well. It's going to be tough. 1-800-636-1067. What defines success for you next year with the Commanders? John is in Fort Washington. What's up, John?
What's up, the young in charge?
What's going on, brother?
So, look, what defines success for me, man, is that Jaden Daniels ascends to be the top quarterback in the NFL. And what that means is we build an offensive line around him and we get another wide receiver. I'm not talking T. Higgins. I'm not with that, really. So, what defines success for me is that, you know, it ain't no question that he's a top five quarterback. And if he ascends up to the top, and I don't see it far-fetched that he could overtake Patrick Mahomes if you put the right pieces around him, right? And then the wins are gonna follow. That's gonna happen. And he has the skill set, the mindset, the attitude, the work mentality to do that. So that's what would define success for me for 2025. And I also wanted to say one more thing.
Uh-huh.
I hear a lot of people calling in, and I've heard on the airwaves a lot of the hosts talking about, you know, cutting Jonathan Allen and everything like that.
Oh, man, John, I'm so glad you brought that up. Go ahead, brother.
Restructure his contract. That man worked his ass off. Excuse my language. He worked his butt off to get back from that pectoral injury. And he is a core Redskin. That dude is
talk
a warrior,
to me, John.
Man.
You talk about that language,
dude,
John.
That dude was geared to fight his buddy on the sideline because he wasn't getting what he wanted.
Whoa,
right?
Yes.
That's the kind of dude, that's the kind of culture you want in your building.
Yeah.
Hey, the numbers may not stack up like we think they should or whatever like that. But that's the kind of dude I want in my – that's the dude I want to go to war with. That's the dude you want in your trenches. And, look, at the end of the season, the one thing that Johnny Newton said is, man, I'm going to get with Jonathan Allen. We're going to train this offseason. That's what you want. That's culture, man. And a lot of times you can't put a price tag on that type of individual. So restructure his contract. Yeah. Man, De'Ron Payne, I like De'Ron Payne.
I'm glad you brought that up, John. I got to let De'Ron you go, Payne. Brother. Hey, you know I love when you tap in, John. I appreciate you calling, man. And that's crazy, man. So we were having this discussion Monday, and we did a poll on social media talking potential cap casualties for the Commanders. So I'm glad he brought up. I'm glad he brought that up. Because I was saying it, was it CK I was saying it to earlier today? I've gone back and forth on the John Allen thing. Everybody wants to cut guys to gain cap space. But my whole thing is, like, if you're going to cut John Allen, do you got a John Allen replacement? I'll tell you straight up, I am not or would not be comfortable with Johnny Newton being my starting three tech or starting nose next year. He didn't show enough for me this year that I feel like next year he is going to ascend into a starter. I wouldn't be comfortable with that. As a rotational piece, love him to death. I think and that's how we need to start looking at the interior of this defensive line, by the way. You got two starters, but the way that Joe Witt Jr. platoon swaps these guys, you got four starters, really. You got your first two that are going to start the game, and then your two primary backups. So when we talk about D-tackle, you need four good ones because the way that they allocate the snap count, the backup's going to play. Let's go to Anthony in D.C. Anthony, what defines success next year for the Commanders?
Hey, what's up, Lunell, man? Long time listener, long time caller. Thanks for taking my call.
For sure.
I'm going to tell you, no one better not call and say, if we don't go to the Super Bowl, that is not a successful season. Because I'm going to tell you, they made this season successful for me already from last season. Just because they was playing hard, they was smart, they was doing the right thing. From the top down, they made the right picks. This the first time in over 30 years that we can have something to be proud about. And it ain't going to, and one season is not going to destroy that. As long as they come in like they're going to do and play hard and act like they care, the fans is going to be happy. Not no team that's going to look like some trash and going to give up because they down by 13.
So you're saying last year's success makes you think whatever happens this year, they're going to be all right.
Absolutely. 1,000%. And that's what anybody with any sense should think. Because we haven't had any success or had a thought that we was going to be successful or could go to the Super Bowl since 2012, RG3. And that was just maybe. Right. It's possible. But I'm going to tell you, with Jaden, I actually thought we was going to beat the Eagles. I actually thought we was going to go to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
I was excited. I was happy because they play hard. They play hard. This is the hardest I've seen this team play since 30 years. So one season, even if they do not win all the close games, even if they do not get a Hail Mary, even if they do not win six games on the final play, that don't make it less successful. Because of what they did last season.
I hear you. They've got the foundation in place, Anthony. I appreciate the call as always. 1-800-636-1067. Taking your calls on what defines success next year for the 2025 Washington Commanders. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. More of your calls on that. Plus, I will begin to lay out the offseason plan for the Washington Commanders if I was the general manager here in our nation's capital. Your calls next there on the Fan. One 800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's the youngest in charge, Liddell Willingham. I will take you up to 10 o'clock tonight. Coming up at about 8:30, our pal Chris Russell, host of the Chris Russell Show, weekdays 1-4, over on our sister station, the Team 980. He is set to join us. We'll ask him the same question we're asking you. What defines success for the 2025 Washington Commanders? Fresh off of a season where you punch your ticket to the conference title game. Fresh off of a season where you identify the long-term answer at the game's most important position. What ultimately defines success? If you're just tuning into the show, I'll give you my thoughts here real quickly here again. I don't think it's some sort of numerical number I don't think the win total next year for Washington defines success. Because in reality, if all of those one-score games didn't go Washington's way and you didn't make the playoffs this year, would you consider this year unsuccessful? You found the long-term answer at quarterback. You've got some foundational building block pieces in Tyler Biadasz and Frankie Louvu and Quan Martin, Jeremy Chinn. So, like, you're getting better, and you're in year two of a rebuild. So I don't look at next year's win total as a metric for success next year. Because they could go 9-8 what would the math be? 9-8 They could be 9-8 next year, miss the postseason, and if they got improvements from the defense, and if Jaden Daniels stays at his level and improves, when I say stays at the level, I mean the level he played at last year. If he doesn't get any worse, right, and he takes a step forward, I think that can be considered a success. I need the defense to take a step forward. And then when I talk about the defense, I can't help but bring up the youngins. This draft class, talk about the 2024 draft class, I need more guys to be impactful. That's another thing that would define success for me. You drafted Luke McCaffrey in the third round as a favorite to Ed McCaffrey. Now, I'm joking when I say that, obviously. But the reason I say that is because you didn't really get much out of Luke. And when you think about the state that that wide receiver room was in last year, his inability to be a contributor last year, I think, is a direct indictment on how good he is at this point. And I'm rooting for the kid. I root for everybody that wears the damn uniform. I want everybody to be good. But in reality, like, I don't know if you can count on Luke McCaffrey or what Luke McCaffrey is going to be. My problem is if you view him truly as a developmental guy because he was a converted quarterback and he doesn't have a whole lot of experience at the position, why the hell did you waste such premium draft capital on him for? You could have got him a little bit later. That's how I look at it. So I expect him to be a contributor. He needs to be a contributor moving forward. That's how you define success. And y'all better not call in and say, well, he's good at kick return. I think I gave a rat's ass about kick return when I drafted him as a third-round wide receiver. I get that's the way to get him on the field, but that's not what I'm banking on with him. Johnny Newton, another guy to me.
I will just say one thing about the draft, like the third pick and whatever. Some of these guys do take more than, like, Jaden Daniels is a bit of an anomaly. Like, some of these guys do take a year or two to really get
so, Chris,
going.
This is how
we want them all to be quick right now.
This is how
now,
most folks look at the draft. When you're rounds 1-4 are supposed to be immediate contributors.
I know. I understand.
So, like, that's just
the model. But they don't always just come in ready. Like,
they're not. But when you consider the opportunities that were there last year for McCaffrey in particular, it's not going to be there this year.
I know.
You were rotating guys at number two wideout, and your third-round pick blows my mind, Chris. He couldn't show enough to consistently be on the field.
Yeah,
he consistently contributed. So that's my thing. I get what you're saying.
But again,
Rome wasn't
it was his rookie year, and perhaps, you know, the maturity and experience is going to make him better this year. That's what you got to hope.
I hope.
That's what you got to hope.
And here's the other thing that we fell in love with. Remember this, Chris. Who was talked about also? Remember Jaden Daniels, the rumor, what we found out. He's showing up to the facility every day at 4:30 a.m. You know who was with him every day? Luke McCaffrey. Benefited Jaden. How much did it benefit Luke? So,
I mean, it probably didn't make him worse.
Well, so. You got a point with that, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I don't know if he's someone that's going to ultimately develop. That's my thing. Let's go to James in Lovettsville. What's going on, James? What's going on, brother?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm good, man. What to you defines success next year for the Commanders?
Well, for me, it's really, you know, our draft capital is pretty low this year, you know. Rookies, contracts, filling those holes. You know, the big checklist for me would probably be either Myles Garrett, or the wild card that I would go with is probably either Micah Parsons, actually.
See, that's where we differ, young man. I appreciate the call. If you don't get Myles Garrett this offseason, next year's not a failure. So we're going to brush past that thought real quick. He brings up a good point, though, with Myles Garrett. To me, I think when everyone looks at the amount of cap space this team has, they feel like going out and spending it all is how you improve the roster and how you build the roster. good teams do not build their rosters through free agency. In year one of this rebuild, what did the Commanders do? They built their roster via free agency. That's why I continue to say, that's not replicable. That's not something that's going to happen again next year. They may sign a more one-year deals, two-year deals, but like moving forward, I think you want to begin to move away from that thought process. And as we get geared up for the offseason, and we'll go through some guys in free agency that I'm interested in, my overarching thought with this offseason is this. You have to get better on your offensive line, on your defensive line. Look at the final four teams that remained. Kansas City, built well on the defensive line. Offensive line, they've got some problems. That's why the Super Bowl went the way that it went. Buffalo, monstrous on the offensive line and the defensive line. Philadelphia, we know what they have. The Rams. The Rams are another interesting group. They've got the best young defensive front in football. You see how the good team, people say it all the time that when we talk about this draft, oh, it's not a good draft class. It's not a good draft class for TV because the meat of this class is along the defensive line and then the depth that you have at the offensive line, specifically on the interior, as I think a bunch of guys are that are projected as tackles are going to get kicked inside the guard, and it then strengthens that position group. But, like, Rome wasn't built in a day, right? Quick fixes don't happen a lot in the National Football League. This year you saw it with Washington. Success next year, as I said a moment ago, nothing to do with the win total. It's about development and guys taking the next step. Having a foundation and a core of your roster set, to me, is what success looks like next year. At the end of next season, you should be able to identify the core of this roster. And it should be intact for the most part as you get geared up for year three. Because what do folks traditionally say about year three? That's when you go for it. That's when you go for it. The ironic part is this. So, last year, when Dan Quinn was in Atlanta, rather, year two for that team, they're in the Super Bowl. So, like, I know the expectations are all over the place and they're lofty for good reason, I might add. I think you all, there are some of you out there that are like, yeah, man, we're in the Super Bowl. Jay Daniels going to be the MVP. I love the hell out of the optimism. I think there's a real possibility Jaden Daniels could be the MVP next year. I think there's a real possibility this team could be in the Super Bowl next year. But what I want to express to you all and bang the table for is understanding that if they don't reach the Super Bowl, if Jaden doesn't win MVP, there are other ways to measure success for this group. And I think there are other ways for this organization to have a really successful 2025 season without maybe even making the playoffs. So let's just focus on keeping the main thing the main thing. But I do understand that I fall victim to it as well. You want to repeat the success of last year. You want to go back to the conference title game. But as any sport fan understands, it is so difficult to replicate success and then get back to the top of the mountaintop. Charlie is in Arlington. What's going on, Charlie?
Hey, Linnell, love the show. You guys bring it every night. Never mail it in.
Appreciate it.
And I got respect for that. So, hey, agree on a couple things. I'll disagree on another. But, I think success next year looks like, does the draft class of 2025 look like the adults are in charge and that you have responsible people making the picks? And, we got a decent draft class this past year. I'd like to see that and even better for the 2025 class. And like you said, 2024 takes a step forward. I totally agree on focusing on the trenches in either the draft or free agency. I'd love to see a James Daniels out of Pittsburgh.
Oh, you're talking my language, Charlie. We're going to get to some offensive line candidates throughout the show.
Or Ronnie Stanley or Mekhi Becton, maybe stealing from somebody from Philadelphia from in the division, make us better, make them worse. And then the last thing, though, is I do think win total matters. And I wouldn't set the bar high, but I think 10 wins would be a very successful season.
Dude, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, brother. And you know I'm a younger cat at 27, so I haven't seen a whole lot of prosperity. I don't think I've ever – matter of fact, Charlie, I could pound the table and say I know for damn sure I've never seen back-to-back double-digit win seasons for this organization since I've been alive. Has it happened?
Not that I remember. And, so, and next year's schedule is stacked. They play so many 2024 playoff teams next year that I really think the 10 wins would be great. I mean, when the win totals come out from Vegas early in the year, would not surprise me if their win total is right around 9.5, in spite of winning 12 this year. And I think
that's a fascinating point throughout the summer, Charlie. I can't wait.
Yeah. So, hey, keep it up. Yes, thanks, sir, for everything you do.
Appreciate you, my man. 1-800-636-1067. That's interesting. That may be it. Charlie, let me just say this, Charlie, if you're still listening. You have radio in your future, brother. That could be a topic that feeds families throughout the summer. What is the win total? What should the win total be set at next year for the Commanders? Obviously, there's a lot of, you know, moving parts still, a lot of acquisitions and transactions that still have to happen before you can get a concrete answer on that. But, man, after free agency, after the draft, I wonder what people are going to be saying relative to the win total for the Commanders. Carlos is out in Silver Spring. What's going on, Los?
What's going on? I think what's going to define us next year, I think it's obviously win percentage, but I also feel like it has to be us beating those good teams. Mm. I feel like this year we destroyed all the teams that were supposed to beat, the Carolinas, you know what I mean? All those easy,
sure.
When you looked at the schedule, you were like, all right, that's a chalk up, that's a W. But those teams, like the Steelers, the Eagles, even though we beat them that second game, I feel like them not have us knocking out Jalen Hurts in that first half, that definitely helped.
Sure.
But those other teams, like the Baltimores, we got to beat those teams. And don't get me wrong, we beat the Bengals, but that's for some reason, Bengals are allergic to winning in September or early part of the year in football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I also think improving our running game. For me, I love Brian Robinson. I just think we're giving him these wrong plays. Let him just put him in the I formation. Let him run downhill. Stop trying to give him these cute plays. He's not a cute running. He's not a Saquon Barkley. He's not going to break anything out to the outside.
Hey, you caught yourself, Carlos. You're about to say he's not a cute running back, and I would have laughed you out. But you corrected yourself quickly there, brother. I appreciate.
But you know,
He's gonna
punch you in the mouth.
That's what he's a bruising physical runner. I appreciate the call as always, Los. So, to me, I differ on B-Rob than maybe a lot of the fan base. I think the issue, and Carlos kind of hit a point there. I think the issue last year when it came to the running game down the stretch was more a byproduct of the offensive line not being as healthy and them not creating the holes than B-Rob taking some type of massive fall off of a cliff. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. More of your calls on what defines success for next season. Plus, we'll begin to look ahead at what the offseason plan should be for the Washington Commanders. We'll ask the tough questions next here on The Fan.